KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
Good evening and welcome again to Family Matters. My name is Ruchama Bistritsky-Klantman, and I'm the founder and executive director of MASC. MASC is Mothers and Fathers Aligned Saving Kids. I actually started MASC 20 years ago. Wow, would you believe that? 20 years ago. And we have reached over 45,000 families that have reached out to us, and we did programs in the communities to reach out to them on family matters, mental health issues, whether it's drugs, alcohol, gambling, internet addiction, bipolar, schizophrenia, or mental health issues, whether they're for your youngster that's in elementary age school or high school, or your loved one you're married to, or for yourself, we're there for you at the MASC helpline. MASC's helpline number is 718-758-0400. And MASC's helpline is a confidential helpline. You can call in anonymous. You can ask a question. We are a referral agency. We have support groups for parents in many different topics. Call. Give us a call. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's for a neighbor, a relative. Write down our number, 718-758-0400, and we can help you find the right therapist, the right outpatient or inpatient clinic, the right person, the right rehab, the right rabbi to help with whatever family matters that you may be dealing with. Tonight, we are very, very, very lucky to have with us the program director of SAFE. SAFE is outpatient, intensive outpatient clinic, and we have Sean Kensing with us. Good evening, Sean. How are you?
Good evening. Thank you very much for having me. It's an honor to be doing this with you and with Mr. Brenner, and looking forward to sharing information about what the SAFE Foundation is all about and what we do.
Great. And we have with us the Community Outreach Coordinator, Abe Chira. Abe Chira, I want to welcome you. Good evening.
Hi. Thank you, Rahama. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and looking forward to communicating with you guys. Thank you.
You're welcome. This evening, we are going to be speaking about SAFE, the SAFE Foundation. And before we begin our conversation, I would like to mention that this coming Shabbos, Shabbos Achrei Kedoshim, May 5th and 6th, MASC and SAFE is co-sponsoring together an event. It's a Shabbaton for parents for only Chizuk, to give them the support that parents need to be able to handle the situations that they're facing with their loved ones. We have over 120 people that registered for this Shabbaton that is co-sponsored with SAFE, and it is by the Voretsky Hall, which is on Coney Island Avenue and Avenue L. Call in to MASC if you want to make a reservation at 718-758-0400. We are going to stop taking reservations Tuesday evening. So if you're interested, I'm sorry, Wednesday evening. So if you're interested in coming, please call before Wednesday evening so that we can make sure that you have a spot at the MASC SAFE Shabbaton. So I would like to go to Sean and ask you, Sean, for our listeners out there tonight, can you describe to us exactly, can you tell us what SAFE Foundation is all about and talk about who is the founder, when it was founded? Give us all the important information that a parent would want to know before bringing their loved one to your outpatient, intensive outpatient clinic.
Sure. So I think the story of the SAFE Foundation in many ways is the story of Mr. Ikey Dweck. Ikey is a member of the Syrian Jewish community and himself identifies as a person in recovery from gambling disorder and since 1987. And around 2001, Ikey had, you know, long been noting problems in his community, addiction-related problems, that were not necessarily being addressed with a community focus and a community organization. And so he started to do that basically single-handedly at first. I mean, he has told Abe and I stories of basically, you know, driving around operating an addiction treatment program out of his Chevy Tahoe, is it? I think it's a Tahoe. And around 2001 started working with Sephardic Bichur Halim, which is another notable community organization, to develop an addiction-specific treatment program through that organization. And it really just grew and grew and grew, basically exclusively from Ikey Dweck's vision. And eventually he parted ways with SBH, although we still work with them very closely, and founded the SAFE Foundation as a freestanding addiction treatment clinic. We were licensed by the state of New York in 2007. We're licensed by the Office of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services. And, you know, ever since then, he and all of us have been working hard to bring treatment to not only the Syrian Jewish community, but the wider Jewish community in a way that sort of speaks to their unique needs and vulnerabilities and strengths.
Thank you, Sean. I'm just going to ask Abe, how do we go about if we have a client that is an addict and the parents want their child to get the help they need, treatment at your facility, at the SAFE Foundation, but the young lady may not, or the young man may not want to go for the treatment. So what do you recommend for those parents in reference to SAFE? I know at MASC, we work with the parents to move them along, and our philosophy is if you change the music in your home, your kids' dance steps can change. So whatever you're doing until now hasn't worked. We go to group. We have therapists such as Dr. Tversky, Dr. Trisha Tia, Sarah Khan, and others that facilitate groups. And parents come to group, and they're able to gain insight into how to motivate their loved one into treatment. But from SAFE Foundation's point of view, can you describe what happens when MASC refers to SAFE and that first call? I know you're on the front line. We speak almost every day. So can you describe for our listeners this evening?
Sure. So the first step is to call directly to SAFE. The number is 866-569-7233, extension 317. All first calls go to extension 317, and they get forwarded to me. If by some chance I don't pick up, it gets forwarded to my cell, and we take every call like it's the only call, no matter what time, no matter what the case is. We do a screening over the phone with the family members, and we'll see what's happening and see how we can help. What's unique about SAFE is we have a family track. Not only do we deal with people who suffer from drugs, alcohol, or gambling, we treat family members as well. In fact, we're known in New York State to be the number one family program. So we have therapists, counselors, social workers that specialize in working with loved ones, whether their child is here at SAFE, whether it is in recovery somewhere else, or is it just out not doing well. We'll treat the parents. We'll bring them in. We'll bring them in for an assessment. We'll see where they're at. We'll assign them a therapist. And then once they're admitted, if they're willing and committed, there's support groups, there's education groups, and there's counseling. And the counseling is focused on their loved one's addiction.
And if their loved one does not want to come in, they could still be part of your program for about how long before you need to terminate at all? And Sean, would you mind answering?
No. Please? So I wouldn't even say necessarily that we ever need to terminate treatment, quote unquote.
Okay.
But our general length of stay is somewhere between 6 and 12 months. Now, of course, there's a million different factors that could contribute to it being longer or shorter, but that's our general length of stay for both parents and people with addictive disorders themselves.
So even if their child is not showing up and cooperating and getting with your program, the parents can stay on?
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, we've had a lot of success, I would say, at working with parents whose loved ones are not only parents, but also spouses whose loved ones are not interested in treatment, not motivated for treatment. As you said, I'm going to steal that line, by the way. What was it? You changed the...
When you change the music in your home,
yeah,
your kids' dance steps can change.
That's beautiful, because that's exactly the approach we take. If your loved one wants to be here, beautiful. If not, you're here, thank God. You know?
Right. And Abe, you know, if somebody, the first call, the addict, is ready to make the call to you, and the parents are here, but she's not or he is not ready to come into a building and sit down in a waiting room to meet you the first time to do an intake, how can we make that a bit easier on occasion, not a general rule? Because I know we've done it at MASC with you in the past and even this past week.
Yes. So when clients are calling and they're a little bit, for many different reasons, they don't want to come in for that first assessment here, I am the community outreach person, and if it's appropriate, I'll offer to meet the client at a local Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, and kind of assess the situation in a different type of atmosphere. It's a looser atmosphere. And the goal would be to bring them here and to see where they're at, to assess the situation, and then go from there. Every outreach is supervised by my clinical supervisor. So every person that I meet gets supervised, and the goal is to get the person the proper help.
Sean, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, I just want to add real quick, because I know it might sound strange potentially to some people. That's entirely voluntary, obviously. A client would have to elect to allow us to do an outreach, and we would obviously be very careful about preserving, maintaining their confidentiality in such a setting. I just wanted to be clear, that has to be voluntary. We're not gonna show up at somebody's house and say, hey, you're coming to the SAFE Foundation. But if a client says, I think I may need treatment, but I'm, you know, not sure, or I've been to SAFE before and I don't know if I want to come back, we're more than happy, obviously, especially with the community members, to go out into the field and see if we can motivate them to come.
Thank you. Sean, I'm wondering if two parents are not on the same page. You know, before we make a referral to MASC, we generally have the parents join support groups at MASC so that we do the preliminary changes with them so that when they finally do arrive at SAFE, they're ready for the treatments. What if two parents are not on the same page? One of the parents, dad's ready to come, mom's just not there yet, or the reverse.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would say we don't always have the benefit of parents having gotten the education through MASC, for example. When that has occurred, you're absolutely right. It's often a much smoother process because they've already learned so much. But it is not at all uncommon to have two parents who are not only not on the same page, but maybe not even in the same book.
Or in the same library.
Yes, yes. So there's a number of different ways we can work with that. The first, I mean, the gold standard of therapy, engaging in any type of therapy, is validation. Validate the husband, validate the wife. Both of your perspectives make sense. It's very, very painful to be on completely different pages. And can we start to brainstorm? This is assuming that they're willing to continue the assessment process. Can we start to brainstorm about where you guys can meet in the middle? We have a lot of different options. Believe it or not, we sometimes, a couple will come and for whatever reason, one of them, let's say the husband, will say, this is not for me, I'm not coming, and we'll still work with the wife. Now, it limits our ability to, you know, achieve certain outcomes, but we will work with whoever is motivated and willing to show up. And one other thing I'll say, sometimes when we do that, the husband ends up coming back into treatment because we see his wife, and as you say, we help her change the music, and suddenly the husband is dancing to a different tune. So I'm really going to steal that, by the way.
Okay. You can quote mass, good advertisement. Sean, if we have groups here for parents and we have individual therapy, do clients see a psychiatrist? Can you talk about how many times they see an intake counselor upon arriving at the Safe Foundation? Can you describe the intake process?
Sure, I'd be happy to. We're very, very proud of our assessment process in particular. We try to do really, really, really comprehensive assessment, meaning it would be easier in some ways and even more, you know, business-wise, more beneficial if we just sat down with everybody and said, okay, you have an addiction, great, you start tomorrow, see you later, good luck. Very purposefully, that's not what we do. Normally, our assessment process takes up to 4 appointments. Everybody sees me first for the initial assessment, unless I'm not available, in which case they see Abe. And then they are, after that, referred on to their primary therapist for subsequent assessments.
4 appointments. Mm-hmm. Imagine a mom calling or an addict, and they have to wait for 4 appointments before they are identified with a clinician for ongoing therapy. Wow, long time. When they finally have the courage to pick up the phone, or when the parents are finally so frustrated and scared and frightened and, you know, they don't know where to turn, and we send them to SAFE. 4 appointments? That seems like a long time. But as an OASIS agency, MASC being an OASIS mm-hmm. agency, and SAFE being an OASIS agency, I understand it. But can you describe the different conditions, why one may need 4 appointments before they actually start to do their work?
Absolutely. It's a great question. A lot of the reason, to be honest, really is kind of a matter of life and death, in the sense that if we sit down with someone and we get an imperfect picture of their substance use, or an imperfect picture of their mental health, or the way those two things interact, God forbid we could make the wrong recommendations. We could say, yeah, you'll do great at SAFE, you start tomorrow, when the reality is that person might need a higher level of care. They might need a detox to stabilize, they might need a full-on inpatient treatment. So we are very, very careful about the way we assess clients, because ultimately the assessment could impact them one way or the other, depending on whether it's accurate or not. Another thing I would say is we schedule those assessments fairly quickly. I mean, this is not like you'll see me on a Monday and then your next assessment is 2.5 weeks later. Normally, they're within the next 48 hours, if not next day, when we can do it.
So what period of time are the 4 appointments maximum?
So I would say it's very rare that someone's 4 appointment assessment process would take longer than 1.5 weeks, let's say. Could it happen? Yes, it could happen, depending on how busy we are, this, that. But it'd be pretty rare. We're not leaving people hanging, you know, we'll call you in 3 weeks and let you know what we think. We kind of pay a lot of attention to the assessment process in general. I'm constantly communicating with Abe about all our new assessments and our case manager, Shelley Spinner. It's the constant subject of conversation. Okay, we saw this person for the first one. When are they booked for their second one? A lot of team collaboration going on. We want to get people in quickly as long as this is the right place. And if it's not, we want to make the right recommendation for what is.
Right. And in the interim, you always recommend that they go back to the mass groups, meanwhile, until they are accepted into the Safe Foundation program or any of the other agencies that make referrals to you, you will then send them back to that agency to be sure that there's follow-up and that you offer
coordination with outside agencies is probably one of the things we are most proud of at the SAFE Foundation. I mean, we communicate with other programs, with other community organizations. And thank God, I mean, I happen not to be Jewish myself. So it's an amazing window into the world of these Jewish communities, these networks. It's incredible. I mean, all these therapists know each other. All these programs know each other. They share clients. They collaborate. They refer back and forth. And we're very much a part of that collaboration as well.
Thank you. Abe, Sean just mentioned about all the therapists knowing each other. I mean, if I was calling SAFE and knowing that all the firm religious therapists know each other, can you address the issue of confidentiality? Because at Mass, that is number one. Confidentiality comes before everything else. So can I ask you to describe the confidentiality here at SAFE and in general with the therapists that may work part-time at SAFE and have their own practice or work in other agencies? How can we keep the confidentiality of all these families that don't want their information being shared when it shouldn't be?
Right. So that's where we get a lot of hesitation when people call. They're nervous. They might know someone that might have come here before them or know someone who is here. And one of the reasons why I meet people for outreach is to just to tell them that in person, because over the phone, sometimes they're still hesitant. And once they hear it face to face, they feel a little bit more comfortable. By law, we're not allowed to discuss the case with anyone unless a release consent is signed by the patient. So it doesn't matter who refers the person. Once that person comes into the building, laws protect the client, and we're not allowed to discuss the case. We're very clear about that, and sometimes we'll explain that to the client 10, 15 minutes until they get an understanding that they are protected by law. The only way we can discuss the case, if the client signs a release. We also, if you come to SAFE, there is a waiting room where there's only one client at a time. Clients don't run into each other's in the building. They enter through the front, leave through the back. So we're extremely, extremely sensitive to the privacy, the confidentiality of anyone who calls or anyone who walks into the building. I just wanted to add one other thing. During the assessment phase, it could be assessment number one, two, or three. At that time, we'll say, wait, this client needs more. This client might need a detox or hospitalization or an intensive program or rehab or many different higher levels of care, what SAFE can really offer. We'll stop and we'll work with the client. And we, SAFE, has been around for so many years that we have such a good list of referrals for rehabs, detoxes, sober livings, you name it. All over the country we have relationships. And when we refer a client to a rehab, when the client goes there, they sign a release. We monitor them. We speak to their counselors once, twice, three times a week. And we're on top of it from here. So one thing that SAFE probably doesn't get much credit for, we're constantly referring clients to a higher level of care. They can go to a rehab. Again, we'll handhold them through the whole process until they actually get there. Actually speak to them on the drive there until they get admitted. And at that time, we'll have the family members here treating them. And when the client returns, they come to SAFE. Those are our best clients, is when people go to a rehab or to a more intense program, they come to SAFE. So there's a lot of hand-holding. And during that four assessment phase, like Sean said, it's usually quicker. But that's where my job comes in. I handhold the clients. I speak to them in between appointments, make sure they're committed, making sure that, just keeping them motivated and just supporting them. And again, everything is confidential. It's not 99%. It's 100%. And after a client comes here once or twice, they get it. They'll see it with their own eyes. And we never had a problem with that. We get you know, people are hesitant when they first call, but once they visit our office and once they meet with us, they are confident, and we never had a problem.
Thank you, Abe. I want to discuss what happens when you have the parents, it's all going great, the addict is also attending your group, attending the outpatient program, has a psychiatrist, and then one day they're coming here 6 months, 4 months, 2 months, 7 months, and one day the addict decides, I really had enough. What happens then? How do you get them to re-engage?
Meaning they feel they've had enough of treatment?
Yes.
Like I'm done?
Yeah.
So it's pretty common. We have that conversation often with our clients. As I said, what we recommend is that somebody be here roughly 12 months, if not more. Sometimes we have clients who are here longer. But if somebody feels like at 6 months, okay, I'm done and everything's fine, the initial intervention would be for their therapist to explain, you know, the prevailing view of addiction as a chronic problem that doesn't necessarily respond to treatment overnight. If you have 6 months of sustained abstinence and successful treatment, that's a beautiful thing, and we would never want to discount it, but it is not in and of itself necessarily grounds to say, I can take my foot off the gas. Which also reminds me of our tremendous encouragement of 12-step and other mutual support involvement. You know, 12-step, obviously, like treatment, is entirely voluntary. You don't sign a contract. You don't say, I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. But lifelong participation is very much encouraged.
So this is Rahama Bistritsky-Klatman from MASC, Mothers and Fathers Aligned Saving Kids. And tonight I'm sitting with Abe Chira, who is the Community Outreach Coordinator, and Sean Kensing, the Program Director at SAFE Foundation. SAFE Foundation is an outpatient, intensive outpatient program for addictions, drugs, alcohol, and gambling. You mentioned, Sean, about the 12 steps. For our listeners this evening, those that are not familiar, can you describe to them what are 12 steps?
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe what that is?
So 12-step groups are non-professional mutual support groups. They are groups of people who together have discovered a way to relieve themselves or manage their symptoms of addiction through these 12 steps, which are basically a spiritual program of recovery. It is non-denominational, meaning it's not Christian, it's not Jewish, it's not this, it's not that. It's spiritual in general. Can appeal to people of any religious background. And there are many, many meetings both in Brooklyn and Manhattan and other boroughs where the population is largely Orthodox Jewish. You know, Dr. Tversky is a famous example of a rabbinical authority who's very much promoting the 12 steps. In fact, his most recent book called, I think it's called Teshuvah Through Recovery, if I'm not mistaken. And thank God there's a glossary in the back because I'm reading it and there's a lot of Hebrew terms that I'm not completely familiar with. But he basically describes how recovery and Jewish observance in many ways go hand in hand. The 12 steps and Orthodox Judaism complement each other in ways that might surprise some people. So yeah, if anyone is interested in learning more about the 12 steps from a Jewish perspective, certainly Googling, you know, Rabbi Tversky would be a place to start.
Right. Rabbi Dr. Abe Tversky. Yes, thank you. And Rabbi Dr. Abe Tversky's son, Rabbi Ben Zion Tversky, has been facilitating groups for MASC since its inception in 1997, 20 years ago, when I started out of my living room. Rabbi Dr. Tversky was at my first meeting, with 27 parents showed up in my living room. So, Sean, you're saying that it's a lifelong illness and parents need to know that having their loved one attend SAFE Foundation's program, whether it's a group, whether it's individual, and the parents attending, that sounds like a lifetime, you're saying. That's a long time to think about having to be in treatment. Being in treatment at SAFE is for up to a year, on some occasions, more than a year. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, do the parents have to continue after they graduate from SAFE if their loved one has been in your program, graduates with what, a token?
A gold coin.
A gold coin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the recommendations usually are to go to 12-step meetings. But can you talk about the parents? Must they continue in ongoing weekly treatment?
So I don't want any parents to take offense to this. Please know that I mean this with compassion and understanding. But it can often be harder in some ways to convince the family members that they need treatment, support, ongoing growth and development. In some ways, it can be harder to convince the family members of that than the addicted person. So we put a lot of focus on that. We put a lot of focus on the idea that just like we're telling your son or your husband or your daughter or whoever that they need to manage this condition for the rest of their lives to one degree or another, we're telling you the same thing as parents or as spouses. Now, that doesn't mean it's funny because when people sit down for initial assessment and we start to explain what the schedule at SAFE is, for example, people get very overwhelmed quick. Two groups a week and an individual, oh my gosh, I got to see the psychiatrist also. This is taking over my life. And when you help somebody actually look at the amount of time, it's not that much. They're here four and a half hours a week, something like that, maybe at a couple more 12-step meetings. It's manageable. So the goal really is to help families and their loved ones see that this is not a it's not a jail sentence. Oh my gosh, I have to do this for the rest of my life. It's an opportunity. Most people who get plugged into recovery in one form or another come to find that it is the foundation of their lives rather than an obligation that they have to attend to. So yes, I would say we encourage lifelong awareness and lifelong growth for parents just as much as we do for their loved ones.
So we're here this evening with Abe Shearer, Community Outreach Coordinator of the SAFE Foundation, and the Program Director, Sean Kensing. And the SAFE Foundation's number is 1-866-569-7233. Jot down the number. Maybe you know somebody that can use their number. Ask for Abe Shearer or extension 317. And Abe Shearer is on the front line. He does the initial phone calls. You can call MASC at 718-758-0400 to ask questions about addiction, about mental health issues, referrals. You need a name of a doctor, a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient rehab, a clinic such as SAFE. You can call us anonymously even. You don't have to even give your name. Call. Take the number down. Maybe your neighbor could use it. Maybe someone you're sitting next to in shul could use it. Take the number down, both for MASC and for SAFE. Once again, MASC's number 718-758-0400 or call Abe Shearer. I'm telling you, whenever I'm at SAFE, the man does not leave the phone. And if he's not at SAFE, that phone doesn't leave his hands. He picks up your calls. It doesn't matter what time of day. He picks up your calls. They could find him. What are your hours, Abe?
So SAFE is open from 9 to 9, Monday to Thursday. Friday we close early, and Sunday we're open from 9 to 6.
Wow. Those are long hours, but MASC's hours are from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. So I'm there with you, Abe. I guess we're both working for the Klal, working for God's children to help each one get the help they need. So, Abe, I'd like you to, now that we've spoken to Sean, to describe what SAFE Foundation is, I'd like you to talk more about what sort of client do you want to see come here, and talk about the recovery process. Talk about what it feels like, the struggles for the parent, the initial conversation between the addict who really loves their drug, whatever that drug may be, or the parents desperate to get their child help, not knowing what to do and waiting for that miracle pill. I don't mean a pill, but that miracle idea to get them the help they need. Can you elaborate, please?
Sure. So as you know, addiction does not discriminate. We have clients all ages. We have mothers, fathers. We have children. We have religious, non-religious, you name it. So our clients are so diversified. And when parents call, I mean, parents, when they call, they are frantic. When their child is abusing drugs and is addicted to drugs, they don't know what to do.
And gambling.
And gambling. And they are, like, really anxious, and we give them hope, and we walk them through the process and get them in and get them help. You know, when wives, sometimes we'll get wives calling, worried about their newly married husband with a child or two, and they don't know what they got themselves into. It's the challenging part is just communicating over the phone with them, because they're very upset, they're crying, they're emotional. We'll meet them the first time. You'll see them come in with still red eyes, really emotional, sometimes for days into weeks. And the beautiful part is watching them come in, the family members that are committed, week after week, you see them with smiles on their faces. And it's a really, that's the gratifying part of this job, is watching people recover slowly. And as far as the substance abusers, it's a process. You know, we always, when they call, it's, that's the first step, is when somebody calls and they want help, that's our opening. And again, we do everything slow, methodically here. We try to get them to where they need to go, whether it's here at Safe or somewhere else. And we'll work with them. And watching them change, watching families change, because, you know, as the substance abuser recovers, the family recovers at the same time. So we do all that work together. It's a lot of work. It doesn't happen overnight, but the clients who are committed, it's life-changing. And before, you know, I was speaking to Rahama, she said her goal is to help one person a day.
Yeah.
I like that goal, because we do more
one
than
a
that.
Day, we save
one
lives.
A day. And the work that gets done at this level is really, it's hard to describe until you see someone come in, see them broken. Seeing, and, you know, clients with children, everyone is broken, because this is a family disease. The person who's addicted to drugs, their family suffers. So we help them together, and it's the, you know, it's a beautiful thing to witness and to watch people come in and see them after a few weeks, a few months later. They're like different people.
Thank you. Sean, would you like to add to that?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, you, part of your question was, who is the sort of ideal client? So obviously, in a certain sense, every client is the ideal client. I mean, we want to see anybody who comes. I mean, we've even done assessments where we end up determining that there is no real addiction problem per se, and that the person would benefit more from a mental health program or something. And we're happy to do those assessments also. I mean, anyone who's interested in getting any kind of help, we'd be happy to see. But as for the sort of ideal client, or the client who's most likely to be successful at SAFE, would be someone who has a firm commitment to abstinence, or at least is seriously considering making a firm commitment to abstinence. Abstinence meaning, you know, non-use of their substance or gambling behavior. So we work with people who do not have a commitment to abstinence. The reason we do that is because we feel we would rather stay engaged with those people than simply turn them away. But the person most likely to be the most successful and safe is someone who comes here and says, look, I recognize I have a problem, and I recognize I need to stop doing X, Y, and Z, and then I need to figure out my lifestyle. And the lifestyle is a lot of the work we help people do. But again, anyone really in any position in relation to substance use disorders or gambling disorders should be seen for an assessment by us in order to help us determine, is this the ideal client for SAFE or not? And we're happy to decide this person is not ideal for SAFE. I mean, that's something I actually really would like to make clear. Something I would really like to make clear, and something that I think, you know, Mask is an inspiring example of, this is really not about making money. Certainly, you know, the work Rahama does 24/7 is not about making money. It's about serving the community. And I think we have the luxury, of course, we're a business, we're a nonprofit, we have to stay in business, et cetera. But we are not focused on numbers. I've worked at other addiction treatment programs in the past that were not supported by a community, whether the Syrian Jewish community or the wider Jewish community as we are. And it's much, much different. When you work at a place that is focused on profit, you don't have the luxury of making the right recommendations for clients. And it's important to me that people understand that, that when you support organizations like SAFE or organizations like MASK, you have no idea what an impact you're making, because it allows organizations like SAFE or MASK to make decisions based on the reality of the situation and concern for the people involved, rather than can we, you know, make our ends meet in this situation. That's a huge thing that I really want to give. There's a Jewish word for it, but I can't think of it. But I really want to give, you know, praise to everyone out there listening to this for supporting organizations like this, because it allows us to work in a way that you can't believe how different it is than the private kind of for-profit sector.
Thank you. I'd like to address the issue of gambling. Abe, can you describe to a parent what can happen? I'm sorry, can you describe to our listeners this evening what happens when you have a loved one, a spouse, a child, a relative, a friend that is, you know, going to Atlantic City, gambling online, gambling in different ways, going to Vegas, whatever it may be? What can happen, and what can you offer them?
So, yes, I was waiting to get to the gambling part. SAFE is the only licensed outpatient gambling clinic in Brooklyn. We're the only one. There's, I think, one in Queens. So it's such a huge problem in the Jewish community and everywhere, and not too many facilities do it. Before I started in this field, I would think that gambling was, you know, someone losing thousands and thousands of dollars in the casinos in Las Vegas. Gambling addiction can be scratch-off lottos, scratching off all day long, their dinner money, their food money, their rent money. The devastation that gamblers leave behind them are horrific. And again, we bring in the family, and because there's a lot of family work that's done with gamblers. I learned in school gambling is a higher suicide than substance abuse. And it's something that we take pride in. Again, our founder, Ike Dweck, started this. He's as a recovering gambler. In fact, before Sean was promoted to program director, he was the gambling. What are you licensed for?
I think I was called the director of gambling treatment services or something.
Yes. So, no. Gambling is a huge problem in the Jewish community, and we address it, and we work very hard.
Sean, would you like to make any comments about gambling?
Yeah. So, as Abe was referring to, when I was hired, which was about 5 years ago, I was hired as a therapist here at SAFE, and I had zero experience working with gambling disorder. But Mr. Dweck, our executive director, hired me in part to replace someone who was retiring, who had specialized in treating gambling disorder. So he said, look, I'm going to hire you, but you have to get trained in this. You have to do, you know, specialty education in it. And I did. And I found over time that working with clients with gambling disorder is in many ways even more challenging than working with clients with substance use disorders. The devastation can be even more dramatic in certain situations. But the good news is, as is the case with substance use disorders, it really does respond to treatment. If a client gets the proper attention to the problem and the proper treatment, they can recover in just the same way someone with a substance addiction can.
Thank you. This is Ruchama Bistritsky-Klatman. And for our listeners that are just tuning in, we have the SAFE Foundation with us this evening. Abe Chera on the front line. You can call Abe Chera, who is the Community Outreach Coordinator at 1-866-569-7233, extension 317. You can call Abe Chera to ask him any questions. You can call anonymous. You can slip the phone number under somebody's door. You can give it to your rabbi, your local rabbi, to help somebody in your shul. You can give it to another family member. Just get this number out there, 866-569-7233. And we have Sean Kensing, the program director at SAFE Foundation. SAFE is an intensive outpatient program located in Brooklyn on Avenue W and McDonald Avenue. Ike Dweck, you're a real star. You have an amazing staff. It's just wonderful to work with each and every one of your staff. No matter when MASC makes referrals to you, you make sure to follow up. Your staff is supervised, top of the level supervision, which all our listeners need to know that that should always be a question when you're going to find yourself a therapist. It's okay to say to a therapist, are you in supervision every week? That's something we all need to get used to asking the therapist before you start your therapy. Just to let everybody know that MASC is having a Shabbaton this Shabbos, co-sponsored with the SAFE Foundation. It is going to be Friday night, this Shabbos. Sammy Trencher is going to be davening at 7 o'clock. Candle lighting can be done also at the Voretsky Hall on Ellen Coney Island Avenue. We are going to have Words of Chizuk, Rabbi David Goldwasser. Shabbos morning, we are going to be davening with Rivi Schwebel, and davening is at 9 a.m. We are going to have Rabbi Eliezer David Rappaport, Words of Chizuk, Shalosh Shudis. We are going to be having Rabbi Chaim David Zwiebel, 7 o'clock Mincha. Anyone that's interested in joining should call 718-758-0400. There are over 120 members, family members, that have registered to attend a Shabbos of Chizuk and Smiros. $25 a person. Registration. We want to thank SAFE Foundation for co-sponsoring with MASC this Shabbos of Chizuk. Sean, I wanted to address the, I know that SAFE has an in-school training program. Can you please talk about it?
Yeah, so one of the, you know, the smartest things that Mr. Dweck realized when he was putting this this foundation together was that the best treatment for addiction obviously is prevention. I mean, if we could actually prevent people from developing addictions, beautiful. So in 2003, Mr. Dweck with some collaborators established Project SAFE, which is the only school-based prevention education program in the country that's specifically geared towards Jewish youth. And not only is it geared towards Jewish youth, it's also just a great program. I mean, we work pretty closely with the directors of Project SAFE. we steal things from their curriculum to use with our clients because their curriculum is so wonderful. And Project Safe has grown at a tremendous, tremendous rate. You know, 17 schools in Jersey, Chicago, Los Angeles, Mexico, Panama, 10 schools in the greater New York City area, reaches about like 7,000 students a week. And you can imagine if you're reaching that many children all at the same time and potentially preventing the development of addiction, you're doing an incredible amount of work before these kids even get to the age of 18 or you know, super high risk areas. So it's a pretty incredible program. As I said, we steal from the curriculum a lot because the curriculum is about life skills, problem solving, you know, healthy thinking, emotional management. It's really, in a way, all the stuff we focus on here at SAFE with adults who've developed addictions, but it's just trying to get this information in front of kids before, God forbid, they should develop these kind of problems. So Project SAFE is absolutely, you know, if there are any school administrators listening, you really want to give consideration to calling and asking to speak to me or Mr. Dweck about using Project SAFE. It's a really a wonderful program.
Thank you. I'd like to talk a little bit about naloxone. MASC is a naloxone distributor and trainer. And Sean, would you like to talk about the naloxone?
Sure. So we recently, as an OASIS licensed program, when the new regulations were developed, I'm going to say about a year ago or so, one of the regulatory requirements was that we all be trained in the use of naloxone. And you know, in looking, it's interesting, in looking for resources to receive that training, we came across, obviously, the fact that MASC is a certified trainer, which is pretty incredible, really. Because your willingness to say to people in your community, hey, this is a part of the reality of our community now, and instead of ignoring it, let's see if there's a way, God willing, we could prevent deaths, God forbid, it's an amazing thing to be able to say, to be willing to say.
Okay, and do you want, for those that don't know what naloxone is, would you like to describe?
Yes, of course. I forget that, you know, I spend all day talking about this nonsense. But naloxone is a medication that reverses the process of an opiate overdose. So it literally is a life-saving medication. If, God forbid, you come upon a person or a loved one who is experiencing an opiate overdose, which is basically respiratory shutdown, this medication, if administered, will basically reverse the overdose and send the person into opiate withdrawal almost immediately, which is very, very unpleasant, but of course is far preferable to not being alive. So it's really kind of a miracle medication. You know, you may be familiar with it from Hatzalah members are all trained in the use of this, and unfortunately, sad to say, they've been using it a lot lately. You know, when they're called to the scene of someone experiencing an overdose, this is basically the go-to response, and then the person would be taken to a hospital to be evaluated. But it's a pretty incredible resource for families to have. It's a sad thing that families should have to be trained in such a resource, but the fact that an organization like MASC offers these trainings is pretty incredible.
And if anyone is interested in being trained, it's a few-minute training. We do give it to you at no charge. It is available also at your local drugstore with your insurance at no charge to you out of pocket. You can call 718-758-0400. Rabbis are calling. They want to keep one in the synagogue. They identify somebody in the synagogue, in the shul, so that if there's anybody that comes across somebody that may need it, that it's available until Hatzalah shows up. I want to thank the mayor, de Blasio, of New York City for making the naloxone so available, and the Department of Health, Mental Hygiene, for making it so available with masks so that we can get it out to the community. If someone is interested in having a training in their community, in Borough Park, in Flatbush, in Williamsburg, in Crown Heights, in Muncie, wherever you may be. You're in Long Island, wherever you are that you're listening. You want to get together to have some people come over to your home, to your shul, to do it in the community. Just dial 718-758-0400, and we can bring naloxone to you. Wow, the hour went so quick, Sean and Abe. Yes. Chira, yes. I want to thank you. Sean, is there any last-minute message?
I just want to thank you very much and Zev and everyone involved in putting this together. And thank you for all the work you do at MASC and, of course, all the people you send our way. And you're absolutely right. When they come from having done some work with you, they're in a much better position to do the kind of work we do here. So we thank you for that.
Thank you for being on. And Abe Chira, the front line, extension 317, that's the number, 1-866-569-7233. Abe Chira, you want to say any last words?
Yes, thank you very much for your time. And it's really wonderful to watch these Jewish organizations helping out and just doing so much community volunteer work. It's fascinating to watch. And thank you, Rahama.
Thank you. And I want to thank our listeners tonight listening in. And listen in every Thursday night from 9 to 10 p.m., 6:20 a.m. on your dial, Talk Line Communications, to our show, MASC Family Matters. Thank you, and have a good Shabbos.
Are you interested in selling radio or TV time? Talkline Communications Network is looking for go-getters who are independent and interested in earning high commissions. If you are a good communicator, have excellent people skills, and have sales experience, this could be a wonderful opportunity for you. Ideal for students or housewives and can be part or full-time. For more information, please call 212-769-1925. That's 212-769-1925. Or you can email info@talklinecommunications.com.
NORPAC's mission to Washington on Wednesday, May 17th is a single-day advocacy event to promote stronger U.S.-Israel relations directly with members of Congress and their staff. Join over 1,000 people as they advocate on issues such as military aid to Israel, fighting back against BDS, and countering terrorism from Iran and its proxy, Hezbollah. Round-trip bus transportation from Washington, D.C., 3 glatt kosher meals, training, and all scheduling and materials are included with registration. To register, visit www.norpac.net or call 201-788-5133. That's norpac.net or call 201-788-5133.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.
Please become a fan of Talk Line with Zev Brenner on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, and YouTube. On Twitter at Talk Line Network. If you have an Android phone, please download our free app in the Google Store. For iPhones, download the Jewish Radio app. Of course, tune in 24 hours a day at talklinecommunications.com. Or our 24-hour-a-day listen line at 401-347-0304, extension 1, for non-stop Jewish broadcasting.
KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
This is Jay Booksbaum, usually from the Grapevine, but here this week talking about MASC and their weekend on May 5th and 6th. Be sure to support them and call them and make reservations. It's a great, great weekend. Rahama, give them the contact information.
MASC, 718-758-0400. You can contact me at Rahama, R-U-C-H-A-M-A, at maskparents.org. M-A-S-K-P-A-R-E-N-T-S www.talklineweb.org. This Shabbaton, Jay, you'll be joining us with your lovely wife. We will have guest speakers. It's a Shabbaton of chizuk, of song, of dance, just to give strength to parents that are struggling with any family member, have gone through it, or are going through it. There will be separate seating if you want. There's accommodations available. There will be men separate and women separate programs. There are going to be rabbis that are going to be announced. Our schedule after Pesach on our Family Matters show. Talk Line Communications every Thursday night from 9 to 10, 6:20 a.m. Thank you.